You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
Here we are once again, sitting down with Matt Stringer, the Chief Executive of RNIB, for his weekly catch-up. Matt, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Alan. My pleasure as ever.
We talked last week about an event RNIB was going to be hosting at Westminster, at Portcullis House, and we also had some employment stuff going on this week as well. Should we start with Westminster and Portcullis House?
Once or twice a year, held an event whereby we invite MPs and we have a sort of theme that we wanted to sort of engage on. This year's theme, or this meeting's theme, was around vision rehabilitation, and we've done a lot of work on that. It's one of our critical strategic pillars, understanding what is a real mixed bag of provision across the country through freedom of information requests with local authorities, and very few local authorities discharge their responsibilities within the prescribed 28 days. So we were able to sort of show that, but not only could we show that, we had half a dozen tables and stations around the room talking to how we can help rehabilitate people from use of sort of tactile devices and other aids to canes, accessible information. And we were sort of open house for MPs for 3 hours, and we had about 70 MPs drop in, plus about another 20 MPs sent people from their office. So I think a couple of things they're really pleased about. One was we encouraged visually impaired people around the country, either constituents of MPs, to lobby their MP to come and take part. And we know that there was only one MP who didn't get our templated letter to encourage them to go. So the vision rehab theme is a very local one. You know, we weren't just talking the national picture. As I say, we were talking to the local picture in their constituencies. This really matters to them, but it's their constituents being supported or indeed not by, you know, the local authority provisions. So we had a lot of MPs really engaged because they absolutely get it, and they can see on a weekly basis through their constituency surgeries how their local town or village or rural area or city constituency is not supporting visually impaired people. So we've scored well in terms of awareness across the political divide, actually, and it was a good spread of MPs from all the different parties. So Stephen Timms came, who we've obviously got a strong engagement with through the DWP, and Stephen Kinnock came, you know, to talk about his South Wales constituency around vision rehab. But I was able to talk to him about the eye care support pathway event we'd had in Manchester the week before, and able to get permission from him to send him some further information about that to really keep pushing through the Department of Health and Social Security. So it was a really good event, Alan.
Yeah, Hubert was there and was speaking with some of the MPs, Matt, and what I sort of heard from a lot of them was they were quite surprised by some of the figures about that postcode lottery, especially around rehabilitation, vision rehabilitation. And, you know, some had, I think, good numbers in their constituencies, others were quite poor. Some are going to take that away with them and look into that further. So it does have an impact.
Absolutely right. Hubert was there. We got a lot of MPs cycling through, talking. Gavin Williamson talked to Connect Radio, for example. So great to have Hubert there and get that contact and those points, as you just said, discussed on the radio.
All right, we've also been talking about employment, reports being done for the government, getting people back into work, you know, reducing that welfare bill as well. And again, you know, RNIB has been involved in putting across, you know, blind and partially sighted people's perspectives, what can be done to improve those employment stats. And you get more on that this week as well.
We had an event that we were the driving force to make happen as RNIB, but we did it within the Disability Charity Consortium with our sort of good friends from all those other charities. And we held a couple of our events at a breakfast time at Amazon's office in Shoreditch in London. And we had a room full of employers and critically a lot of people from across the Disability Charity Consortium with lived experience to talk about employment. We were hanging this off the Keep Britain Working Review, which has just been published by Charlie Mayfield. And we've been put as the RNIB and within the Disability Charity Consortium to that work over the year. We hosted a round table in the summer. And what we were pleased to see, you know, coming out of the publication of the report a couple of weeks ago, was disability mentioned heavily and focused on heavily to help, yes, drive economic growth, but also for all sorts of reasons of physical and mental health and self-worth and all those sorts of things. So we had Charlie there, who was a draw really to talk to the report and take questions. Then we had a really great panel of four people from different charities with slightly different disabilities talking about their experiences of getting into work, keeping in work, holding down a job, challenges of accessibility in the workplace, and talking to all the processes around induction, recruitment, interviews, you know, use of technology, the physical environment, all the things that we would expect people to talk to, which was incredibly compelling. And I saw Charlie sort of scribbling furiously notes from what he was picking up from the meeting. And then we were able to talk to some of the technological work we've been doing as a DCC about trying to help employers use technology to help with all these processes, building on the credentials that were in the room. We had the DWP there, civil servants and DWP, who again very enthusiastic, and we've got some follow-up meetings in December at the DWP. So a really good event. It's a big national question at the moment, and Charlie's report now moves from the sort of review and report phase into implementation. And it just makes the point about our onward participation in the next phase, which he clearly gets. So, you know, it was a really good couple of hours, Alan. Really varied program, great program. Everyone went away feeling really enthused and actually really getting the issue and the opportunity. And we go forward from here, as I say, working with Charlie and the ministers on the implementation phase post his review.
Let's hope the momentum does continue, Matt. And we've also had publication of the latest COVID-19 inquiry. Several modules still to go yet. It's going to be a long piece of work. In fact, you gave evidence to the committee as well on this. And, you know, a lot in this report, you know, disability was mentioned quite a lot. Communication was came in under scrutiny quite substantially as well.
I gave evidence to Module 3, which was the next one, which was a year ago, and that won't get published till next year. So, you know, the wheels can sometimes seem to turn quite slowly, can't they? But I think, you know, whatever you think about the inquiry, and there's been lots of people supporting it and lots of people criticising its scope and its pace and its cost. But, I mean, I think within what was published yesterday, you know, there are some strong pointers which we'll only get to more acutely in Module 3, where we gave evidence, as you said, around the lack of national preparedness to be able to support the needs of disabled people, including blind and partially sighted people. We talked about the lack of planning before to really understand how disabled people should be protected, the lack of awareness of even thinking about some of the issues around lockdown. And as I gave evidence last year, you know, the challenges of having interrupted treatment and interrupted contact, maybe our mental health issues or with trusted partners, the loneliness and isolation that came from lockdown, the lack of communication, the anxiety over things like food deliveries and being able to access food, the nervousness of going out and maintaining social distancing, all those things, you know, I talked to in Module 3, but are starting to come back already in the feedback from Module 2, because the big picture was the government wasn't ready and hadn't prepared to be able to deal with the needs of a wide demographic, including disabled people. It didn't understand when the pandemic started about what the issues were for disabled people and blind and partially sighted people about, you know, not only how you're affected by the virus, but also by the measures. I just mentioned, you know, some of the challenges of lockdown. And then also, you know, the ability to communicate, not only at the start, but we know it took months, if not frankly a year, for accessible comms in all the formats that we would expect, and this includes things like, you know, British Sign Language for deaf people, you know, just weren't in place. And so, you know, through the preparation, through the execution, through the communication, it was poor.
Something that jumped out for me, Matt, is that preparedness. It was about the need that people with disabilities, including blind and partially sighted people, must be involved in planning for, you know, the future response, which will come at some point, but they must be included in that work.
I think the government's woken up to this. I went to a meeting about a year ago, which wasn't on COVID and the pandemic. It was just a sort of national resilience forum sort of discussion. But again, similar challenges. You know, if you have issues of sort of military activity, power outages, you know, some of those big black swan type events which could impact the country at some point, it's being able to, you just said, understand the implications of actions that are going to be taken, understand the communication. And I think critically in the preparedness, knowing who's out there and how, who is there to be communicated to. I mean, there's no sort of national database that's very well constructed to understand different groups of people across the demographic. You know, data is held at different levels within an NHS context, or a local authority context, within sort of maybe national records around HMRC and this sort of stuff. It's not pulled together. It's a big job because, you know, national data is a big thing, big data. But even knowing who to communicate to, if you had a good plan and you had the right communication methods, is still a challenge because we don't know who's out there, or the government doesn't know who's out there. So, I mean, look, I'm expecting all these things to be picked up in the next module, but I think you can see the direction of travel from the findings of this module, which, looked at the big government response, but, could make those points about preparedness, about a lack of understanding of impact, and around a lack of communication already.
Indeed, Matt, thank you. And if you want to get more advice from RNIB, do have a look at the website, rnib.org.uk. Learn all about the services, the support, the state, all the work that's going on as well. You can also call our helpline on 0303 123 9999 or use your smart speaker. Just ask it to contact RNIB's helpline. Some massive topics today, Matt. We'll catch up with you again, but thank you for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
No, pleasure, Alan. Look, I mean, I think the fact we're talking about these big, meaty national questions, whilst they're all challenging and none of them are resolved and might never be, the fact is the RNIB is in the mix, is in the room, it's got the relationships, it's got the contacts, and we're agitating to make things happen and having an impact as we were last week when we did the iCare Support Pathway event in Manchester. And again, you could really see the fruits of our labours coming through in the implementation of that. So it's been a good couple of weeks for us. Making things happen and being involved in some of these big national debates.
For more interviews, features, and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.